The El Paso movie-going experience got a big boost earlier this year when the region's first Alamo Drafthouse Cinema opened on the west side, offering first-run studio films alongside a unique blend of repertory, foreign language, and indie film titles. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The man responsible for deciding which films screen at the Alamo and organizing some of its more quirky special programs is Robert Saucedo. Saucedo is the programming director for Triple Tap Ventures, the Houston franchisee that owns the Alamo Drafthouse Cinemas in El Paso, Lubbock, and Houston. And I'm happy to have Robert Saucedo in the studio today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're in town for the week. I know you're usually based in Houston. I should, full disclosure, tell everyone that my own monthly film series, The Film Salon, is now meeting at Alamo Drafthouse, so I'm not quite impartial in this regard. I think it's a great cinema. You all have been open since, really, I guess, early last May. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a soft opening in the first couple of weeks of May, and it's been great 6 months. We've really gotten to know the El Paso market and really have made a lot of great memories both with and for film fans here in El Paso.
Over those 6 months, you've seen, I guess, people getting familiar with the differences with your viewing experience. Why don't we talk a little bit for listeners who have not been to the Alamo yet, and it's over on the west side just across from the Montecito development off of Mesa, between really Executive Center and Sunland Park. But what sets Alamo apart from, say, the normal big national franchises we have here?
Sure. The biggest thing that's going to set us apart is our food and beverage service inside the theater. Mm-hmm. When you go see a movie like Rogue One, you'll be able to actually order off of a menu in the theater, and servers will bring the food and drinks to you while you're watching the movie. We have a full menu of cooked-to-order food like pizzas and burgers and salads, a full bar featuring both alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages to choose from. The other thing that really sets us apart is our dedication to presentation. Mm-hmm. We have a very strong no talking, no texting policy. If we have somebody in the theater who's causing a disturbance by being on their phone or chatting with their neighbor, all you have to do is put up a flag and let us know, and we'll take care of the problem. Our servers are also trained to keep an eye out for that themselves, and when they spot a commotion or a disturbance, they'll take care of it. We really have a strong dedication to the movie-going experience. We know there's a lot of options out there, both theaters in town and at home, and so we want to make sure that our guests know that when they come to the Alamo Drafthouse, they're going to be able to really enjoy the film that they chose to see.
You know, I've heard from a number of people who go there that it doesn't feel like a chain, and to me, that's high marks. The fact that you're able to create something still specialized for each market, that you are showing first-run big Hollywood studio films, but also a lot of repertory stuff, which we don't see at the other cinemas in town.
It's really important for us to be a neighborhood theater. You know, one thing that was really remarkable for me last night when I was working with our team at the theater was how much the entire team gets into what we're showing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Christmas programming that's been going on all month long, stuff everything from Die Hard to Home Alone to It's a Wonderful Life. And our team, from our servers to our concierge to our bartenders, they get really into the movies that we're showing. They have a really great ownership in what's being shown on our screens, and that translates to our guests. People know that when they come to the theater, it's a family. It's like going to hang out with friends,
right,
not going to visit a business. And that's what we really try hard to kind of bring that attitude and that atmosphere to our theater.
Yeah, I've seen some of the staff there actually begin to recognize frequent patrons, mm-hmm, which I can't imagine ever happening at one of the other cinemas in town. So you really do feel at home when you're, mm-hmm, there, and particularly for cinephiles who go out to the movies quite a bit.
Sure.
They seem to be flocking to the Alamo. Over those 6 months, I know there's a shakeout period there. There's, mm-hmm, a lot of moving parts because you have the food service and the bar and some, mm-hmm, other things. Now, I guess you're feeling like you've got your sea legs, and is the next year going to be about even more personalizing the programming to the El Paso market?
For sure. So one thing that we've taken, you know, 6 months, thing to remember is that 90% of the people who work for us at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema had never stepped foot in an Alamo Drafthouse,
right,
Cinema before we opened our building. So getting them used to what the concept was, mm-hmm, what we do, what we don't do, and what our strengths are as a brand took some time, but I really think our team has really kind of gelled into place, and we're ready to take on to 2017 and really take it to the next level. Everything from, like you said, localized programming. I'm really hoping to work with a lot more local programmers in town, bring their voices to our theater, allow them to share their passion for film with our guests. and with the community. We're hoping to let our culinary team go wild and come up with some great food and film events, mm-hmm. such as beer dinners, feasts, specials that theme around the films that we're showing in our building. We're really looking forward to kind of more localizing our theater even more so. We have a great team forming in El Paso, and my role as the program director based out of Houston is to give this team the resources they need to be able to bring the Alamo and El Paso to its full potential.
Over those last 6 months, is there anything you takeaways or something you can glean about this market that might be different from others as you try to tailor things to and see what gets supported here?
Sure. Well, you know, the one thing that has really kind of stood out is El Paso's ability to surprise with supporting challenging cinema. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I go into a new market, I've opened up theaters in Lubbock and now El Paso, I'm always a little hesitant to let the Alamo Drafthouse, I guess, freak flag fly right off the bat. We have a reputation for showing challenging films and mm-hmm. going a little bit weird sometimes, but I don't want that to be the first impression a market gets of us.
Right.
But, you know, the El Paso market has really kind of embrace some of this stuff, and it really brings me encouragement to try to see what we can do. You know, and it's not just cult films. It's foreign films and classics and alternative lifestyle films that really kind of challenge the preconceived notions of what a Texas cinema might be able to play. And I'm really excited to be able to kind of further embrace that in 2017. I mean, just recently this month, we opened up the film Nocturnal Animals,
right.
which I believe you reviewed on your show recently. And the cinema in El Paso, our cinema, was the number 12 cinema in the nation. I mean, El Paso has that distinction
wow.
of just being right behind New York and L.A. as far as the amount of people who came out and supported this film. And so that's a big testament for what we in El Paso can accomplish in bringing great cinema to the city.
Those ripples, that the kind of metric, I'm sure, ripples all the way back to New York and L.A., and
mm-hmm.
the people who distribute these films probably begin to think, how did El Paso pop up on that list?
For sure.
And it hopefully will bring us new avenues for seeing films that we wouldn't normally get to see. That's a film that Nocturnal Animals, the Tom Ford film, that frankly, before you opened in this market, I think would have bypassed us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure you would have been able to see that film on the big screen here.
Well, it's definitely a challenge that I think the studios are seeing and that we're seeing to go ahead and keep this trend going and to bring great cinema to our theaters on a regular basis. And I'm sure in 2017 we're going to be able to get a lot more of these opportunities to be able to bring films that people may have just been able to read about and to actually give them a chance to see them in our theater.
One of the things I appreciate, too, is that you don't show commercials before films. In fact, I encourage people, if they've not been to the Alamo, to get there 30 minutes early when you begin seating, because you have these wonderful packages of pre-show, often with really wacky videos or clips of classic films. It's just a joy to sit and watch some of those.
For sure. We have one gentleman named Laird Jimenez who is based out of Austin, and that's his sole job is
creating those pre-shows.
He is a walking encyclopedia of just little bits of wonderful magic from VHS, from lost films. He just pulls out all these great surprises in our pre-shows, and it's always a surprise for me to be able to see what he has in store for us whenever we have a new movie opening up in our theater.
Some of the screenings you do are not just screenings of films. They have interactivity mm-hmm. involved. You have dance parties. You have sing-alongs. You have cult films where people quote along, food-themed things that you do with the Alamo. I'm wondering, as you get to know a market, do you get to play around more, or you try to program things that will work in Lubbock, El Paso, and Houston?
Well, we have a great community of programmers across the country when it comes to the Alamo Drafthouse, and every week we meet and compare notes and compare ideas, and we develop our programming packages for the month together. And so we're actually, just this week, we're going to be working on our programming for March and April. But what we get is a packet full of programming on a national level. So if you go to an Alamo Drafthouse in El Paso or Kalamazoo, Michigan, or Brooklyn, New York, you'll be able to get some of the same shows and some of the same programming all across the nation. But it's up to us local to choose which ones we're going to show and how we're going to show them. The one thing that, as you mentioned, we do a lot of great interactive movie parties. And going back to an earlier question you had about what I've learned from El Paso, is one thing I've learned is that El Paso loves their movie parties, but they also love the chance to maybe choose between a movie party and a screening of the film without the interactive elements.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing we're going to be doing a lot of in 2017 is offering
two-tier.
Exactly, those choices.
And you also have things going on outside of the actual theater, though. In the bar, I know you have special events and things that engage cinephiles or film geek culture.
Sure. We have Geeks Who Drink every Wednesday night, which is a great trivia competition where you can test your skills against the fellow nerds here in El Paso. We also have little surprises that we like to bring to our theater. Just this past weekend, we had the Youth Symphony come out and play selections from John Williams' Star Wars scores on opening night of Rogue One. And so these are the type of things that we love to do to kind of bring the experience of the movie out from the theater inside the specific auditorium. And we're definitely looking for more ideas on how to do that. We're really hoping to better utilize our glass half full bar in 2017. It's such a great space that I'm really proud of, and I really think there's a lot of great opportunities we can kind of pursue in that arena.
Do you see Alamo as not just a theater but a hangout space? I start to notice people just kind of congregating there. And maybe they're going to a movie, maybe they're not. Maybe they're just meeting friends to have a beer and a pizza and take in the great view that you have from your front patio.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, before I worked for the Alamo, that's what I was doing. I was going to the theater
just
and hanging
out.
So I totally encourage people to come out and do that. It's great when we can build communities of people who love films and introduce them to each other in a market. And I really hope that El Paso becomes a hub for film lovers in the near future.
So that brings me to my next question. If you were hanging out in Alamo before you worked for them, you are doing most of the programming for all of the theaters that Triple Tap is the franchisee of. How did you get into this position? Obviously, you have a deep love of cinema. Were you always a cinephile?
You know, it wasn't until 1999, actually. I would watch films as a kid, but it took me a while to fall in love with films. But 1999 was such a great year for films, and it really introduced me to films that were beyond, you know, the typical Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jackie Chan films that I had been watching as a kid. I mean, you had films like Being John Malkovich and Three Kings and Fight Club and all these amazing movies being released that year. And it was just like a gateway that opened my eyes to the world of cinema. And I just fell into a rabbit hole and haven't been out since. But, you know, this has been a passion of mine for a while now. When I moved to Houston 5 years ago, one of the first things I set myself as a goal was to work for the Alamo Drafthouse. I had been going to the one in Austin for years before that. And basically, I tracked down who owned the theaters in Houston, and I would send them a letter every day for a month, letting them know that I was the person that they needed to hire.
You were available.
Exactly. I started in accounting and support and quickly worked my way into the type of position I wanted, and it's been a blast since.
Fantastic. Well, you're certainly a cinema omnivore, and it's always great talking to you. Thanks for coming to the studio today.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Robert Saucedo, Programming Director for Triple Tap Ventures, the Houston firm that owns El Paso's Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. We've been discussing the Alamo's first year in this market and where it's heading in the future. For more information on upcoming special programming and current films playing at Alamo, log on to drafthouse.com/El Paso. On Films Engineer today is Evan Walsh. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thanks for listening to On Film.